Morning, everyone. I'd like to bring the Code Enforcement Board meeting of November 10th, 2016. And open it up and welcome everybody. And maybe we have a roll call vote, please, Madam Secretary. Still not
here.
Here.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Here.
Mr. Jones?
Here.
And
here.
Here.
All right, does everybody have a chance to read the minutes from September 8th? Any changes? Like a motion to approve?
Second.
Thank you.
Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mr. Harrington. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Are there any announcements, Madam Secretary?
We do have one date that is in compliance that I'm aware of that's not reflected on the agenda. Number 13, CDB 11-16-60 for 825 Vernon Street is in compliance as of November 7th. And if you'd like to read into the record, number...
There was one other
number 8
mm-hmm.
CEB 10-16-54 for
619
Roma Street,
which is
in
October
31st.
Okay.
Is
that it?
Oh.
We
going to
announce 14
or?
I don't know
if you want
to do that.
Yes.
That's probably fine.
Yeah,
you are. It's number 14. Staff is informing you they are withdrawing. That's
CDB 11-16-61-14-29 Edgewater Road. Okay. Now the withdrawal.
And 8,
that's okay. Yeah. Was there any, did the federal disclose any ex parte communication? Okay. All right, so here's our procedure. Would the code officers please come forward and be sworn in? Okay, we'll be calling cases by number for the most part in orders they are listed on the agenda. If there are any attorneys present, we'll hear those cases first. When your case is called, please come forward and be sworn in. State your name and address for the record. If you are not the owner of the property, please state your relationship to the owner. Our proceedings are recorded, so please speak into the mic. The board hears from the code officers first, and then you'll be given the opportunity to respond. Please direct all responses to the board. Witnesses may also testify using the same procedures. Good. All right, let's start. We have a lien review. Case number CED 0616-32, 417 McGee Street, Pauletta Wright. Is the respondent present? No?
We're willing to do it in her absence, but if you have to wait and see if she should, will appear, and Amy said she said was anticipating her to be here.
Yeah.
What do you
Have you heard anything from them?
I spoke to her several times. She was scheduled last month, and made sure she knew, and they got paperwork back from her last week, and her daughter was coming for her.
And the city's recommendation is to
wait.
Substantial relief.
Yeah, I think for a lien review we should have someone show up. Okay. So we'll just pass on that case. Yeah. She can come at the end, and if she can make it, you know, in time, we can still hear it. But at this time, we'll just postpone it. All right. Let's start with our old cases. Our continued cases, the first one is CED 11-15-58, Daytona Beach Club Condo Association. And they're here for a progress report. Would staff like to say anything about this?
Madam Chair, Anthony Jackson, attorney for the City of Daytona Beach. As you indicated, they're here for a progress report, and as we all recall, it's one that's been, this is a case that's been going on for some time, and they expect some time longer for them before they're completed, and we're anxious to hear what's coming up. I don't know if they've actually had an opportunity to do anything in the interim. We kind of were anticipating some stuff coming up in January, so we'll like to hear from them.
Okay. Come forward, state your name and address for the record.
My name is Steve Merchant. My personal address is 9451 Telfer Run, Orlando, Florida, and we're here for the Daytona Beach Club, 800 North Atlantic Avenue, Daytona Beach.
Okay.
And I'm the president of the board.
I'm Stephen Folks, 800 North Atlantic Avenue, Daytona Beach. I'm the vice president.
Okay. What would you like to tell us today?
Yes, ma'am. We are exactly what we've stated that we would be. The initial work was completed back in the summer, and we're on schedule for the continuing work, which will be phases 2 and 3, per the contract to start in January. The delay for the January, as stated before, was due to the contractor's work schedule itself. It's not ours, and we are poised to start in January. We have funding in place, and we are ready to move forward with an expectation. According to the contractor, we would be totally complete by September, October at the latest.
Great. Okay. Want to add anything?
Just one very quick one, that given the hurricane that came through a few weeks back, Daytona Beach Club survived it very well compared to most of the waterfront properties. Mm-hmm. And that's a testament to the work that was done for the concrete restoration, which we were pleased about.
Good. All right. Now, we're doing this a bi-monthly progress report. Okay, so we'll see you in January. I don't have the date.
Well, we were originally scheduled last month, so we have a meeting to continue the progress report for this month.
Okay.
So their next scheduled appearance will be technically December.
Well, there doesn't seem to be much.
And then after that will be February.
Okay. Yeah. So come back in February, because then the work should have started and you can tell us what's going on. Okay.
Well, I don't know. Do we have a prior order as to as to the frequency of, I'm sorry.
We have an amended order of non-compliance, bi-monthly progress report through the end of 2017 with the listed.
I think that's fine.
So
I don't know. Think we need anything else. They're coming back in February. That's fine.
Right.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank
see you in February.
Thank you.
All right. Case number 2, CB0916-48, Anketa P. Shreddy, is cited for failure to correct violations of, at 735 Mason Avenue. Is the person here? Respondent? No? All right. Would you like to tell us what's going on here?
Yes, Madam Chair, and members of the board. This is case, the inspector is Denzel Sykes. You may recall we've been here before on this dumpster enclosure and disrepair, which is resulting in trash flowing all through the community. And the respondent, what we needed was an enclosure. There was a broken down enclosure. They were putting the trash out, but the enclosure's been wiped away pretty much remainder through the hurricane, but there's been nothing done from the time that, to my knowledge, from the time that we first had, they were first before you. And the inspector's requesting a fine be imposed of $500 a day to $20,000 and attend to Mr. Sykes if you have any factual questions.
Okay. Does the board have any questions? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to oppose a fine of $500 per day against the respondent effective today, November 10, 2016, and continue until compliance is achieved or reaches a maximum of $20,000. Is there such a motion?
Second.
Okay. We have a motion from Mrs. Hines and a second from Mr. Smart. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Next Case would be case number 3, CED0916-49, GM Daytona 2000 LLC at 157 Atlantic Avenue. Respondent present? Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector recommends that there were, as we had in our prior meetings, they were putting plaster and it had to cure, and it was going to be a 90 or 60, 90 day period. The hurricane and the events kind of affected that ability to, for the, everything to happen as it's supposed to. Mr. Miyaris has sent in
a... Are we in the same... Okay, number 6. Go ahead, I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah, Mr. Miyaris sent in a letter. He was one before you before regarding this. That says, due to the storm that happened a couple of weeks ago, we are putting all of our efforts in trying to open some of the damaged doors for business. So you can please, will you please extend the time for us to finish the painting? 60 days if possible. At least from the perspective of the inspector, we're okay with amending to 60 days. They were diligently working on it once he said he was working on it, and we did have this circumstance. And Senator, Mr. Fitzgerald, do you have any other factual questions regarding this?
What has been done on the exterior?
Good morning, Michael Fitzgerald. Hi, City of Daytona Beach. My credentials are on file. The building started out they replastered the outside of the building. There were cracks all through the thing. Then they waited for that to cure, and then they did two coats. They did two coats of the primer, and then now he was going to be putting the color on before this, and then the hurricane and all his other stores got damaged, and he's working on those with those same contractors.
Okay. Any other questions? So your recommendation is that we give him the 60 days?
That's what he asked for.
I'd like to see.
It doesn't look bad right now. It is the A1A corridor.
Michael, you said that your understanding is you only have the final coat thing.
The final
coat.
That's all he has to do is the final coat.
I'd like to see.
There's not a lot of contractors available, and his contractors are working on the stores that are damaged badly.
Mr. Harrington?
I would prefer 30 days, and then we can always extend it.
Anyone else?
This goes back to last March. So.
It does.
Yeah.
I think so, too. Anyone else want to say anything? All right. The chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent to come into compliance by... What date would that be?
November.
December 2nd, November 30th is the cutoff. Till the cutoff date of November 30th, or be returned to subsequent meeting of fine meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Okay. All right, let's change the date to January 4th. Okay, so we'll amend that. Is there such a motion? Yeah.
So we can only grant the time for when we're meeting. You can't set the date 30 days from that time, and the inspector inspects.
How close is it?
Yes, I mean, if the question is, can the board can set any time the board chooses. I mean, 10 days, 40 days, 400 days. I mean, it's the board's choice. We, just from the staff perspective, recognize not only you know the circumstances regarding the contractors, but also the time of year. You know, that'd be the week after Thanksgiving and after Christmas, and all of that plays into getting work done, getting people in to get a project done. But that's completely the board's priority.
I think that's a good argument, except it bothers me that this goes back to last March.
Yeah, and I'm not arguing for it or against. I'm just trying to.
All right, we'll live with it.
Okay. You know, we can keep it at this date.
Any more comments from the board? Well, here's what we'll do. I will withdraw my original motion, I don't think we had a motion made, did we? No. Okay, we just stated a motion. So now, we're going to, the chair will entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow the respondent until November 30th to come into compliance or return to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
No.
Motion by Mrs. Hines. Second by Mrs. House. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. Let us move on to case number 4, CEB09-16-47. Pelican Bay Golf Club, LLC. Respondent present. Please come forward and state your name and address for the record, and we'll hear from code enforcement.
Andy Bonus, BONUS, 350 Pelican Bay Drive.
Please tell me where or from, but the testimony you must provide,
the truth. And what is your relationship to Pelican Bay Golf Club, LLC?
I work for the owner. I'm the manager.
Okay. Thank you very much. We'll hear from code enforcement first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine. The inspector is Danny Garcia. This property, as before, they were working on various, as far as the issues of security, that it was secure, that the fence and the stairs were being repaired, but we still have an issue, I think, of the pool. What I've been informed is that there was a thought that they were be delayed and they weren't going to be able to, because of the cost, immediately start working on the pool, but that's changed and they are now, there is a plan to repair, and so the staff is asking to amend to the next cutoff so they can move forward and,
okay.
and get this taken care of.
All right. Mr. Bowman, what would you like
to say? And as I said, Danny, I don't know if I said this, but Danny Garcia is the inspector, and if you have any factual questions.
Okay.
Yeah, the pool is closed, and it needs about $100,000 worth of repairs. But to clean it up, I'm working with Blue Ribbon Pool, and they're going to start. He's going to let me know today or tomorrow when he can start. He said it'll probably take up to 2 weeks to finish, to get it cleaned up and drain it and the whole thing. In the meantime, somebody from Volusia County put fish in it to help with the mosquitoes, so I had that to deal with, too.
Do I remember this is not owned by Pelican Bay? This is a separate
corporation. Right, private owner.
Mm-hmm.
But I can get it done within 2 weeks of when he starts. And
okay.
I'm guessing that's going to be next week.
Okay, great. Any questions for Mr. Garcia, Mr. Bonus, or Mr. Jackson? All right. So the chair will enter. entertain a motion to amend the previous order of noncompliance and allow respondent until November 30th to come into compliance and be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day until compliance is achieved. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Motion by Mr. Harrington, second by Mr. Weatherholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Thank you. Let's move on to case number 5, our new cases. Case number CED10-16-51, Michael J. Connor at 300 Tarragona Way. Is Mr. Connor present? Okay, sure. You're here. Welcome.
Robin Hunt, 300 Tarragona Way, here for Michael Connor.
Okay, what is your relationship to him?
I live at that address with him.
Okay. So we'll hear from code enforcement and then we'll let you speak.
Okay.
Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector reports that the disassociated vehicle parking on the lawn and grass, the inspector reports that the property was in non-compliance, but it's now in compliance. But he's asking that there be a finding made so that for future violations.
Okay. Anyone have any questions or add anything else?
Is there adequate parking? I mean, it doesn't look like there is a defined parking area or driveway.
There's a gravel driveway there, but it's just the weeds is deed into the gravel, and periodically we spray it for weeds. I think the issue that came before him was Clifford the Big Red Bus is parked there on a Scholastic bus tour.
Mm-hmm.
He was there for approximately 7 days, a friend of ours, and traveling the country with Clifford, and they stopped by and spent 4 or 5 days here. That's it. You see the great driveway.
Okay.
Any other questions? The bus is gone.
Okay. All right. The chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in noncompliance but currently in compliance and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence and the case be dismissed. Is such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Harrington made the motion. Mr. Smart, the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries.
Thank you.
All right. Case number 6. CED08-16-43, Cheryl Owens at 264 Fountain Lake Boulevard. Respondent present?
Amen.
Okay. Just state your name and address for the record.
Owens, 264 Fountain Lake Boulevard, Daytona Beach.
Okay. Good. We'll hear from Colton.
Yes.
Mr. Jackson.
Yes, Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or noncompliance. The inspector is Don Stinson, and Mr. Stinson reports that the property is currently in noncompliance, and there was anticipation that they were ready to get it done or get the required permits, and that hasn't isn't completed yet. So we're asking for next pedal for her to come into compliance, expected that they'll be in compliance on next pedal.
Okay. What would you like to tell us?
Why I've not been able to do anything. As y'all know, my mother passed away July 30th.
I'm sorry.
This was her home. I moved in 3 years ago to help take care of her because she became paralyzed completely. Then July 1st, while I was dealing with her issues, my boyfriend of 13 years was in a car accident and was severely hurt and may have cancer now. That was indicated on MRIs done for the injuries. They found a mass growing in his spinal cord. He's wheelchair-bound, completely disabled. We are fighting to get him on disability. I have no money to pay to have a fence company come move and take this property down. I can't get a permit through the city because the house is not in my name. I can't afford to pay an attorney to put the house in my name because it's $1,700. And because my mom was on Medicaid, she didn't have much life insurance policies. Only received two policies. They've been used to pay for living costs. And this past week, I spent over $1,000 on his medical issues, taking him to doctors. We're actually getting married November 20th, so I can add him to my insurance at work, so he can get the medical care that he needs until the disability decides if he's fit for them or not.
When will the health be in your name?
As soon as I come up with $1,700. I already had one lawyer tell me $3,000, and he was actually trying to steal the house from me because he knew that I got a little insurance money. So I went with another attorney, a different attorney. There was no will. My mom had no, she had a living will, but she had no will if she had died. So that's the issue. And the city won't allow me to get the permit, and I can't afford to hire a fence company.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a lot.
I know. I'm sorry. It is a lot.
His medical records.
Okay. We believe that.
Madam Chair, there's one point that failed to mention when I was describing the circumstance here. The fence is completely out.
The fence is what?
It's not completely out. The final product at all. Okay. Because the HOA would not approve that.
Okay. And that's what I was going to say. It is complaint generated. So
and we spoke with the neighbor because I guess the fence was over too far. And we didn't know, so we are working with a friend of ours to try to get him to come down to move it back off of the neighbor's property, and he said that he's fine with that.
All right. It's my inclination that this is not a severe problem. When I drive around the city,
it actually stops people from coming through our yard.
In
the crime in our neighborhood.
I'm inclined to give you time. I don't know how anybody else feels, but in the scheme of things, this is not making much of an impression on me. Does your homeowners association want a different fence?
Yes, they want more of a, not farm fence, but more of a picket. They pretty much want a vinyl. They wanted a vinyl, and then I told them, no, that's not happening, and we have a wood fence already up, a 6-foot privacy wood fence. We just couldn't afford to do the whole yard. Because that whole side property is our property, and the HOA did not understand that for the first couple of years. And because they won't put a fence up to secure our neighborhood, that's why we put this fence up, because I actually had to move my mother out of the house into a nursing home because of the crime in this neighborhood. Our house has been shot at, robbed. A month ago it was on lockdown, a month prior it was on lockdown for criminal activity in that neighborhood. And my neighbor is a cop for Daytona Beach.
Well, since that doesn't meet requirements of your homeowners association, it has to come down, right?
Yes. They're fine with the actual wood part of it. It just has to have the, I guess, like pickets that go along it to make it more look like more of a stockade fence than a farm fence, is what they said. The HOA is
their rules.
But they tell us that they're not a liability to secure the neighborhood, even though I have put security cameras up, and we constantly have people cutting through our house, our yard, and if we tell them to stay off our property, then we get threatened. And I was actually threatened by their lawn care company that they hired.
Nice.
They won't
pay
the property.
So how much is a permit then? So
the permit I can't get because the house is not legally in my
name. Okay. All right. That's the issue there. Okay.
And to get that done is $1,700.
To get the house
put in. And I'm the only person in the house working.
I get it. Okay.
You fit your short.
I work at Florida Hospital. I'm a CNA. So I make $10 an hour.
Mr. Jack, is this area... Have we heard anything about it as a crime victim?
Ms. Hahn, I don't know that answer, but I don't know if that would be the type of criteria that the board...
I just thought if it was like that, it would be an area that we should be aware of.
The neighborhood was on lockdown 2 different times within the last 60 days.
Those would be more relevant to, issues of variance or consideration of other... or...
And the one actual person actually went up to the cop's house and knocked on the door and asked if he had a stolen vehicle in front of the house.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to deal with what's here. I can't, you know, we can't help you with the crime or anything else or the other issues I'm sorry that you're having. But what we can do, I think, is I'm thinking to find the respondent in noncompliance and order a progress report in the next couple months and see how it's coming with whatever's going on.
Madam Chair, members of the board, y'all know me, and I in no way don't want to be insensitive or seem insensitive, but the board, by history and by law, can't make your determinations based on an economic. I mean, you can make them, but you can't waive. In essence, they'll have the effect of waiver on a basis of one's ability. The compliance here can be fixing the fence or removing the fence. It can be removed in a few hours. Again, I'm not trying to be insensitive. I just want to make sure that it's all considered.
Well, it seems to me that we give people extra time for all kinds of things.
And I understand.
Hurricanes, whatever.
And I'm not arguing anything.
Okay.
I agree. When I say that,
let me hear your recommendation then.
Our recommendation is next cutoff. I don't know. That's the recommendation I got from the inspector. That's the one. That's all we have. And as I said before, it's always the board's full prerogative to do as it feels best. But the recommendation staff is that it's complaint driven. It's in a restricted community. It's what's done. And that's the only thing we can be consistent in requesting that something that can be done in a reasonable time be done. And so that's the position of the staff.
We're dealing with a couple of issues here. First of all, the Homeowners Association, which is a legal entity. The biggest thing that I have is the property line. It's on somebody else's property.
Would you come back to the mic if you want to speak, please?
The fence is an inch on the property.
I understand. Believe me, I understand. But it's still a legal issue. And so it's something that, you know, the board, if we can find her in non-compliance and give an update at the next meeting. But the fence being on the wrong side, on the property line, not your property or your mother's property, and then the issue with the Homeowners Association, two legal issues. So I say that we find her non-compliant.
Yeah, we have to do that.
And we can give her
a date further
date or something like that.
A date further out. Is that acceptable to everybody?
It's acceptable. We don't deal with those legal issues here.
With the legal issues, especially with the Homeowners Association.
We don't deal with them, but it being a city entity, you know, you have to find some rule. And I don't claim to be an attorney. Excuse me, sir. That's for the attorney to decide. But I think that as a city entity, we have to deal with it.
Well, I think it's in non-compliance because there's no permit.
Right.
We don't have to go.
Right.
Yeah. If I just may, and it's not available for this moment, but the issue of the entity is just that it's an entity, so it's treated equal to any citizen or any other individual that makes a complaint.
Let me try and state a motion here and see what you all think. The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by I'm going to say the March 1st, 2017 cutoff date, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day. Is there such a motion?
No. I'll put it out there. I'll make the motion.
Okay.
I'll second.
Mr. Harrington made the motion. Mr. Weatherholt seconded. All in favor say aye.
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 Nay.
Like, sign, opposed.
So, I don't think everybody voted.
Right. Let's have a roll call vote, please.
So the motion is for non-compliance until after March 1st, 2017 to come into compliance. Mr. Redhold?
Yes.
No. How?
Yes.
Mr. Smart?
Yes.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Gatt?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Okay, so we've given you some time to get the fence down and do whatever you need to do to come into compliance. Okay. All right, we will now move on to case number 7, CEB10-16-53, Daytona Ocean Rentals, LLC, at 613 Braddock Avenue. The respondent present? All right, Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector report has indicated in the violations that there's an issue of a lack of required water services, as well as infestation and dilapidated balcony. And this memo you have regarding this case as a respondent or as someone who wants to speak in front of me. Okay. And so the recommendation of staff is that the water services be resumed within 10 days and that the remainder be brought into compliance by next cutoff. This is multiple violations and inspections, and it still exists. The information is that there's been no water on the property since 8/22/16, and it is a.
So people live there without water? Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, and I tend to Mr. Stinson for any further questions as well. If I'm
all right, Mr. Stinson, let's hear a little more detail, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
John Stinson, code inspector. Qualifications are involved with the city. This is the second phase, for lack of a better term, for the violations on this particular property. There's a long list of violations prior to the water issue and the infestation in the balcony.
Were those corrected?
No, ma'am.
So this is a separate case?
That's correct.
Okay.
The owner's not here?
No, sir. I've had no contact with the owner. I've had minimal contact with the property manager. There's quite a few legal issues going along with the property. But as far as the water is concerned, like Mr. Jackson said, the water has been off since August. the property manager made a decision not to continue to pay the water bill. So subsequently, the city turned off the water. And he has not given any indication when or if he will be restoring those utility services. I've had no contact with him for months.
Are people actually living in this building?
It's actually two buildings, and yes.
Don't talk yet. I'll give you a chance. And do you... I don't know. I mean, this has to be germane to this argument or this case. How is this a sanitary condition or not something that shouldn't be shut down immediately?
Well, the lack of water does create an unsanitary condition, but I don't have knowledge of that.
Right, and it's something really outside the...
It's outside of our...
I think you probably would advise you that if you were here. I think that has come up in the past.
Right, it has.
Isn't that a county issue?
No.
That is an issue that has been changed. I think all you have to do is prove that you got a book of award and somewhere to post.
Yep.
I'm sorry, what did you talk about?
That's all right. Go ahead, Mrs. Hunt, say what you just said again.
I said it's a different order, but I think what you have to have now is a book of award and some place to pull it.
Yeah, we've had this issue come up before, and I think that's what has been advised by Mr. Garcia, that means to flush, whether it's by a bucket or whatever. It's from the perspective of the definition of, or at least sanitation from our perspective. The health department has its things that they can do if they see fit, and they may have been called, and I don't know, but that would be something outside of our authority. There are other things within the city's authority at large, but it's not the code enforcement authority, and I'm not sure which.
So what are you asking us to rule on? The infestation and the balcony? If the water is, I'm reading what the complaint is.
Yes.
If it's not yet, then there's only two other things.
Right. The others, give them until the next cutoff or give them the water immediately. It's what we're asking, 10 days notice to get the water on.
What about the electrical? You know, I'm looking at it and there's water.
So this is a separate case from that. We have that other case that we, you know,
right,
adjudicated, right? Got a running car on it.
Like I said, this is the second phase of a case on this property. We follow those other things that have been addressed in the first case.
Well, I know that they were addressed, you know, with the outside cords, you know, the extension cords leading
right
in, but I'm looking at the interior.
Absolutely.
But the extent of what we're able to address at this meeting would be those things that we decided on for this meeting.
Now, I have another question. What is the law that actually pertains to whether or not water has to be provided in a building? Is there a state law or that says that a bucket is fine? Is there a law that actually says a bucket of water is fine?
I don't think the law says it that way, but International Property Maintenance Code
right
is what we would be relying on,
okay,
on what the water requirement is.
And
again, that's the interpretation of my
right. I'd just like to hear that. Because this seems to be an issue that comes up more than once, that there's no water, and everybody goes, oh, well, they have a bucket.
Yeah,
I'd like to see the rule that applies to that state law or the city law or the health department law that actually says that, so we know what that law is.
Now, I'm trying to ask if we can possibly maybe address that maybe in our new business, and we can come up with on the future.
Okay.
As it relates to this case, we're not even alleging that they're using buckets. We're saying that they don't have water. And so
right,
we're asking for you to find the noncompliance.
Yeah, that's pretty easy. All right. Okay, would you like to say anything? Okay, one of you, please. And we're going to just limit it to what's here.
Okay, I can give you a little bit of...
Okay, state your name and address.
Mike Manderville, we live right next door at 611 Braddock.
Okay.
Do you tell me
clear
or
affirm
that the
testimony
must
be right? Yes, I do. Okay. We've been dealing with this property for a long time, as you know. You're maxed out on your fines for the one apartment for 615. This is under 613. I think we should start, you know, fining again. A little history about what's going on is the city's come out several times and shut the water off, and the landlord has come out and the tenants have come out and turned it back on several times. Then the city finally came out and capped it, so they couldn't turn it back on. But they were cutting the lock and kept turning it on themselves. I've had the police out there, but caught the landlord doing it, didn't do anything about it, just told him to leave it alone, he's not allowed to touch it, gone away. We've been dealing with this headache for a while now. The place is fully rented, not rented because none of them are paying any rent. Nobody pays any rent. He got them in there for like the first month's rent, and they've stopped paying because the front building is infested with cockroaches and bed bugs, and he won't pay for an exterminator. He's told them it's their responsibility. Mm-hmm. He won't put smoke detectors in. He tells them it's their responsibility. The roofs in the back were leaking before, and now the hurricane ripped the back roof off. There's people living up there. They got holes in the ceiling. They're living in the other, in like the living room instead of the bedroom, because the bedrooms are taking on water and stuff. There's major plumbing leaks. There's sewage coming out of plumbing in the back house in the building that we know of. There's babies that were just born that are living in there. These people go out, they take their buckets, they go down to Sunsplash Park, they get water there, they take showers, they bring back 5 gallon buckets of water to do whatever they do in the house. There's extension cords running all along the outside of the building from apartment to apartment, sharing electricity and cable. I know that this is a 5-family unit and it's governed by the state. Now, we've asked before, we've talked to Hector Garcia, we've talked to the other code inspectors about, it would pull more weight if the city would call the state and have them come out and inspect the building. Because if you call the fire marshal and tell them there's extension cords running outside the building in the rain, and you tell them there's no smoke detectors and the landlord's putting it on the tenants, that would be grounds for the fire marshal to do something about it. The state could come down and shut the building down if somebody from here would just call the state instead of putting it on other people to do. We've been fed up with this house. It's ridiculous. All the things that are going on in the city, you know, but just keep saying you can't do anything about it. I think you can.
Yeah, I want, you know, and I'm going to ask. Okay.
So I think those are my two suggestions.
Okay.
Call the fire marshal, state fire marshal, and call the state code, the state inspectors that inspect multifamily houses.
Okay. I am going to ask Mr. Jackson what it is we can do. I don't want to, you know, what we can't do is immaterial to me. What can we do to alleviate this, because I think this is a liability for the city at this point.
Okay, we can find them non-compliance, and we can order them to come into compliance. That's the extent of what the authority of the code enforcement board under this process.
One other thing, I talked to one of the tenants, because these people, there's only one left that was one of the drug people that was a problem before with all the drugs and stuff. These people are just down on their luck kind of people and stuff, so we haven't had too much of a problem with that. I talked to one of those people, and he said right after the hurricane, he called the landlord, and I think the landlord just washed his hands of it. He said, hey, what are you going to do? Do you have insurance? The roof's, you know, ripped off and stuff. He said, I don't live there. You do. It's your problem. And I've heard, you know, people, I saw him yesterday walking down the street. People have seen him, like, sleeping on the beach, eating out of garbage cans. The landlord, I mean, I think he's washed his hands. He's done. He's not worried about it. So, you know, so he's not going to be any help. You're not going to get anywhere with him. And I think a simple phone call from the inspectors here to the state could cure a lot of problems.
Have you done that?
We're getting ready to. We're getting ready to send some more letters. But I think, you know, we live in Daytona Beach. We pay our tax in Daytona Beach. I think Daytona Beach can take that step. I think Daytona Beach has a lot more clout than some neighbor calling up and complaining to say, hey, look, we got a problem with this house. Come and inspect it. Come and do something about it. That's just my feeling about it.
Can you do that, Mr. Jackson?
I have no knowledge whether it's been done or hadn't been done or what the... it would be an administrative process, so it would be from either the supervisor or, you know, someone, but I don't know if that's been done. I don't believe my last conversation with Mrs. Spencer, he doesn't believe it's been done. This thing that the city can do itself, I mean, if the board, as in the past, the board elects to write a letter to the commission or to the city manager or something expressing concerns regarding any issue. Of course, that's something that's always considered or taken into effect. Ms. Garcia said there's some issues going on right now that's a little bit distressing, and from having all the details, so I don't really know those answers. What I do know is that at this stage, our position is that it's in non-compliance, and the most immediate action is to order them into compliance, and at least we can start with showing that they refuse to comply with orders that have been issued with the highest administrative authority that we have for code enforcement. So that's a good starting point for any other action that we want to take.
If we find them, it matches out. Do we have a process for... taking the property away because the fines aren't paid?
Right. What the Florida statute, Chapter 162, provides is that after 90 days we can move forward with given that authority, which we have been granted through the commission already, that we could move forward on foreclosure. There are numerous issues that are coming to play when you consider foreclosure. And so,
well, on a property like this, whatever the issues are, I would think they should be addressed and this should be done as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I don't know if they have or hadn't been, but they would be, and we do address those types of issues. So those issues are addressed, and ultimately it's a balance of course, a request of the staff and an action, you know, ultimately a legal action. It would be a lawsuit.
My concern is that when there's a pool, we can order the city to secure the building if there's a pool that's open and somebody can fall in it or...
Well, correct, Madam Chair. What you do is authorize.
Authorize, right. We authorize the city to secure the property.
That's correct, yeah. There's no authority that's been granted
right.
to the board.
We can't do that, but we can authorize the city. Well, what is the difference between something being in this condition that, to me, is a threat to life other than, and I just like the pool is. I mean, isn't that the same issue?
Well, one thing, and Madam Chair, I'm not trying to defend at all, understand,
I know.
But just for clarity, even from the expression of the neighbor of concern, it said there are people there that are you know, I don't know if they're death spot or not, if they're tenants or not. I know there's been numerous criminal matters as well at the property. What I'm saying is it's not an involuntary circumstance in terms of being there and dealing with those situations. But I'm not saying that makes it okay. So
right.
Please don't misunderstand
yeah,
me.
Yeah, no, I hear it.
But it, when you say difference, you know, a pool is an attractive nuisance.
Right.
Not,
that is correct. That is correct.
But I don't disagree that if there's more to do and more that can be done,
right.
that we do that. And
right.
that's the discussions that become discussions outside and beyond typically the code board.
I mean, I know it would be really easy just to find the respondent in noncompliance and order them into compliance by the next cutoff date. I mean, that's just what the procedure is.
Right.
But because this case is so dire to me, I just want to know what else it is we can do.
And hearing that expression of how dire it is a reason for, and again, as I said, if the board wants to follow up with even a writing to administration, it can, but hearing from the board how dire it is to the board, and recognizing as well, it's dire to me, it's dire to
right.
the staff.
Absolutely.
It's something that if we hadn't considered or discussed it at higher levels, it's something that we recognize.
So who would we write to as a board?
In the past, you've written to the city manager, you've written to the commission, it's your choice.
Okay.
It wouldn't be proper necessarily. I mean, I have this balance here because one's advised for us, but right now
right. I get it.
Has the fire marshal addressed this issue? If not, why not?
Fire inspector would be what we have right there, and I don't know.
I don't believe that they've asked them before.
Can I just take two seconds?
I'd like you to. Right, absolutely. All right. Would you please sit for a second? We have an issue that we have to talk about for 1 second. We don't have representation right now, legal representation for the board right now. We are able to proceed, and we'll just put that on the record. Is that... that's all I want to do is just put it on the record.
Madam Chair, if I could just... And I'm sorry to interrupt. If I could just say for the whole board at large, the board attorney represents the board.
Right.
And so he's the board's counsel, and you have that right to have your counsel advising you in proceeding. If you elect not to proceed, I mean, if you elect to proceed without your counsel, you can, but I'd like that, at least from my perspective, I believe it's something that should be something that you discussed and deliberated on, voted and made that decision that you wanted to proceed as an entity, as a body, as a board.
That's our decision right now. Do we wish to proceed without legal representation?
My understanding is that we're only really only able to find them in non-compliance. Why other steps haven't been taken, I don't know what we're going to do about it. We've asked. The fire marshal hasn't been there. We need to write letters. This is sort of over and above what we're here to decide.
He doesn't.
And I think we just need to find them immediately in non-compliance.
Well, we first need to decide whether we want to proceed with the rest of the meeting without legal representation for our board. That's what the immediate question is. Yes.
Where is he?
Okay. He's unable to continue right now, and I don't want to. He's unable to
continue. Mr. Sino is unable to continue with the meeting. He's ill, so we have to leave it at that.
Right.
Again, Tony has given you your options. You can proceed without Mr. Sino, or if you choose to.
That's the question we have right this second. We're not even discussing.
If we can deal with that, and then we'll continue this case and deal with it.
Or not. But does anyone have any feelings about that? You think we should proceed without representation?
I do too.
All right. So, well, will you please address it? Go ahead.
I don't think we should proceed for me without representation because of the bank.
Why don't we take a vote? Can we take a vote on it, or what would be it?
What do you think, Mr. Smart? What's your discussion?
Did you have a colleague in a legal department who come in here and substitute?
The statute prohibits
that would be a city.
The statute prohibits the city staff from representing both the staff and the board.
So if we vote to not proceed, we just cancel the meeting and have another month of,
of all of these cases, not just this case. Now, I will say that if we do what we're supposed to do, which is to find the person in compliance or non-compliance, I don't know how much representation we need to do that. We might limit our discussion.
We can keep on with the meeting without, and I think that this particular case, I think that it needs to be defined in non-compliance, establish a fine, and then just stop the discussion on this until we have.
I would be all right with doing that with. Every case that we, find something, which is what we're supposed to do in this section anyway.
And understand, because I'm limited on what I should be doing in terms of advising, but understand that I'm not saying that you typically have a major reliance on advice, on representation other than advisory, but you don't have your counsel there to advise. And so that's something
and there are
that.
Some things I think in some of these cases that need that thought.
Yeah, because
the
people that are considered people that told us we had to do one thing fine and non-compliance.
My concern is that if we make a decision
that the respondent is unhappy with, they have an open door for an appeal. I think we might be creating a problem with that.
We have the authority to waive. We have the authority to waive the use of an attorney.
Yes, you do. And I'll tell you, when I've represented boards, it was rare, because obviously the board would prefer to have advisory counsel, but you're an entity. You have the authority to waive.
To waive, and
proceed with in the absence of your counsel if you so choose.
Well,
And of course you want
because all these cases would come back.
I think these are all new cases. That is the key
right.
point.
Okay. So I'm going to suggest that I don't even know whether we need a motion, but just put it on the record that we're going to proceed with these new cases.
Yeah, ma'am, I would think we should do a motion and
okay.
tell that police officer.
I'd like to make a motion that we proceed through these new cases.
Make the motion.
Oh, all right. Somebody else has got to make the motion? All right.
You can call. Announce.
Okay. Chair will accept the motion. To continue with the new cases until, without the advice of the board legal attorney.
Are we going to come back under new business and discuss this issue about how, even if we don't address the case, what additional procedures we have when we run into something like this? Because we all have questions of why.
Yeah, we've had those conversations, but
I'm open to that. Okay.
Yeah.
Is there a motion to proceed without the presence of the board attorney?
Again, for the purpose of the vote, I make the motion.
All right. Mr. Harrington made a motion. Mr. Jones made a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'd like to sign the polls. One.
Opposed?
Two.
Everyone else is okay?
Roll call.
Mr. Reinhold?
Yes.
Mrs.
House? Yes.
Mrs.
Hines?
No.
Mr.
Yes.
Mr. Clark?
No.
Mr. Harrington?
Yes.
Mr. Jones?
Yes.
Okay. All right. So we're going to continue. All right. We will go back to 13 Braddock Avenue. And the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent in noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is 11:30, and further orders that the water be restored, water service be restored by November 20th, 2016. Or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 a day.
We have a two-part order, fine for both compliance
days,
if not
tomorrow. Okay. Is $1,000 a day the highest we can do?
$1,000 a day is the highest we can do?
Madam Chair, would you...
Two fines for both compliance days.
Consider that date to be the 21st, which is a Monday, the 20th is a Sunday. So I
okay.
would recommend...
So we'll amend that. Is that to the 21st of November for the water? All right, do we have a motion?
So
Mr. Okay. Jones, Mr. Harrington, the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
I'd like to sign the post. Okay, so the motion carries, and it'll be back on our agenda
This is the most we could do today anyway. It will be back on our agenda in a month. So, okay. All right, let's move on. And the water compliance is November 21st. Okay. All right, let's move. Case number 8 is in compliance. Let's move to case number 9, CEB 10-16-55, Hunter Harold Williamson Jr. and Lisa H. Davis at 622 Roof Street. Are the respondents present?
Yes.
Okay. Please come forward, state your name and address for
Donald
the record.
Donald Davis, 658 LPJ Boulevard.
What is your name?
Donald Davis. Lisa's husband.
Okay, we'll listen to our code enforcement people, and then we'll give you a chance to respond.
And I'm sure it's likely, but Lisa gives you authority to speak on her behalf.
Yes.
Okay. Madam Chair, member of the board, the report, this case is before you for termination of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that the property was rental property, but it's vacant and it's not being maintained, and so he's asking for you to find the respondent in non-compliance to give him some next cutoff to come to compliance.
Okay.
And I'll attend to Mr. Stinson if you have any factual questions.
Okay. But this property is vacant. Property vacant?
Yes,
ma'am. Looking at all the...
John Stinson, code inspector with the city. My qualifications are on file. Yes, this property is vacant.
Okay. All right. And Mr. Davis?
Yes.
You have... you're the husband of Lisa, and you have permission?
Yep.
To, okay. Go ahead. What would you like to tell?
I'd just like to have 60 days to get cleaned up.
Okay. There seems to be a lot to do.
Yeah, I've already cleaned the yard up and been working on it.
Are these pictures recent?
Yes, sir. As recent as yesterday. The ones for yesterday are going to have the grass completely cut down. That still exists. The rotten fascia board. The electrical light fixtures outside, that still exists. The structural issues on the property still exist. He has cleaned up the groundwork. I have not seen the interior of the property, so I can't speak on the inside.
Yes.
But all of the drainage and all of the outside storage of junk and debris has been cleared. It's on the curb for pickup. And like I said, the only thing that's the only difference. All the outside storage and the landscape has been maintained. And I have been in contact. I've talked to them a couple of times, and they are working on the interior. But I haven't seen the interior yet.
There's a lot of exterior work on the complaint.
Yes, ma'am. Obviously, you can see that they're going to need to paint the exterior, windows, doors, screens. Yes, there is a lot of exterior work needs to be done.
But they still need more paint.
And I don't see anything on the interior, so I, you know, this complaint is just about the outside, right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. All right. 30 days doesn't, and it's actually not, and that cutoff is actually not 30 days, it's only 10. So what is the recommendation from code enforcement?
Now, the chief inspector informed me before that he's okay with the additional time, so
okay.
They wanted was the January
4th. Mm-hmm. Okay. right, Chair, I'll entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance in order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, which is by the January cutoff date, which is 1/4/17, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
So
motion, Mr. Smart.
I'll second it.
Second, Mr. Weatherholt, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. You've got some time. Okay. Yeah, that's it. All right, case number 10, CEB 10-16-57, Joyce M. Daffin at 826 Vernon Street. Is the respondent present? Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record.
Joyce Daffin.
Okay.
826 Vernon Street, Daytona Beach, Florida.
Okay. Do you want to testify as well?
Yeah.
Go ahead. Just come up. And
Audrey Daffin, 826 Vernon Street. Also.
So you live? You live? Oh, doc. Okay. Okay. Both of you need to be sworn in. All right. What? Sit down for a sec. We'll hear if you want. We'll hear from code enforcement first.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this case is before for the finding of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector reports that the property was in non-compliance, but it's now in compliance, and is asking for a finding for future violations.
Okay. Would you like to say anything? No. Any discussion from the board? All right, the chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance but currently in compliance or for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence in case be dismissed. Is that too much?
No.
Okay. That he'll explain that to you.
Yeah.
Is there such a motion?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Mr. Herring made the motion. Mr. Jones is second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Yes. Thank you. All right. Case number 11. CEB 10-16-58, Gracie Guest Bats at 931 Vernon Street. Respondent present? Good morning. Please state your name and address for the record.
I'm Huretta Wright, 1031 Hampton Road, Daytona. Huretta Wright.
And what is your relationship to... the owner?
Sister.
Sister. All right. Be sworn in, please.
Yes.
Okay. We'll listen to what Mr. Jackson has to say, and then we will hear from you. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector is Jerome McCoy. The inspector reports that this property was in non-compliance, but is now currently in compliance, but is asking for a finding of for future violations.
Okay. You have anything to say? Would you like to testify? You don't have to.
Again, it's a rental property, and I need clarification on the meaning of the last statement.
Go ahead.
Yes. Ma'am, what it means is that the board will make a finding of noncompliance, and so then you'll be subject to, if it should occur again, a repeat violation, which would mean that you'll be subject to a fine immediately at the next board meeting. They'll come before you and they'll consider it, but they can fine you or fine your sister up to $5,000 per occurrence. Now, typically, it's not a $5,000, usually $50 or $100, but it escalates over time and over and the nature of the occurrence. So what it means is, as long as it's not done again, everything's cool.
Okay. My only thing I need to let you know, my sister resides in Columbus, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So when she gets the notification, I was here in October for a hearing at 9 o'clock. I think it was October 13th. And I was informed after I got here that it was canceled. So I called Gracie from here. She didn't get the notification of the cancellation until the end of October. So if something should occur, again, I do try to check on the property, but I have rental too, so I can't always be there, but hopefully this won't occur again.
Okay, and understand that that's the property owner's responsibility to make sure it doesn't, so even though you may have tenants, it's still going to be her challenge. But the notification, it's based on our inspector coming out and making inspections, and sometimes that may not be done until late into the deadline for compliance.
That was the cancellation due to the hurricane.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
totally different situation.
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I understand.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All
right. Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Okay. Exactly, because what happened, I was in Columbus when Gracie got the first notice in August, and it was sent certified, and I called the tenant from Columbus and read to him what the letter stated. When I got back home, I went to the property, took pictures. He had handled that situation. But I still had to appear at the hearing on October 13th.
Okay.
So I came and was canceled.
Yes, it was.
And Gracie didn't receive any notice about it. But I'm happy with this. I will call her and get back with the tenant and make sure that everything is squared away.
I think that I'm hearing that we don't have a problem adding her name for the correspondence.
Yeah, I think that would be
okay.
That would be easier.
Yeah, okay. All right.
A referral number, email address.
Right.
Well,
1031. Yeah, go and get it done the right way. Go ahead. Yeah. All right. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance when currently in compliance for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 in case be dismissed. Is there such a motion? Motion, Mr. Smart. Second, Mrs. Hines. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. Oh, I'm sorry. Mrs. House seconded.
Who made the first motion?
Mr. Smart. Thank you. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
All right. Next case is number 12, CEB 11-16-59, John Revell at 508 Butler Boulevard. Respondent present? No. All right. Mr. Jackson.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for determination of compliance and non-compliance. The inspector is Mike Fitzgerald. Mr. Fitzgerald reports that the property remains in non-compliance and asks that you make that finding and get the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance.
Okay.
And I'll send to Mr. Fitzgerald if you have any questions.
Any questions? All right.
What would compliance consist of? Getting a permit?
Compliance would consist of getting it. Mike Sashofi, the attorney, be code enforcement. My credentials are on file. Business tax receipt for the rental, plus the BT license, plus getting a permit and having it inspected for all the work that was already done on the property. They tore down a garage. This would have been the garage. Complete building demolition. That's another permit.
Refresh me. Is that the couple that came here that had the?
I've actually never spoken with these people.
Okay,
the new case.
Okay.
I mean, it's not an additional case. It's brand new at this address. Yeah.
Okay.
We did a lot of work.
Is this complaint driven, or are you just having to see it?
No, I just having to see it.
Yeah. All right.
Would a building, if it's for rental, and tearing down, would this be classified as commercial or residential? Because what I'm getting at, if it's registered, it would be classified as commercial.
Yeah.
If it would be.
Yeah, if I can say it on record, answer. So.
Okay.
Yeah, the answer would be that if it is rental property for permitting purposes, it's considered commercial. They would have to get permits and have contractors and those types of things.
That's what I was getting at. Yeah, the building can't proceed and doing it itself.
Right, it can't be the
contract.
Right, it can't be the owner pool.
Okay, any other questions from the board? The chair will entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and our respondent committed to compliance by the next cutoff date, which is November 30th, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day and further orders them to pay the one-time administration fee of $250? No?
No, I'm sorry. This one is for compliance. Oh, you said me. She said, I apologize. I'm lost.
Okay.
Apologize.
Okay. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Motion, Mr. Harrington. Second, Mr. Letterholtz. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. All right, let us move on to case number 13 is in compliance. Case number 14 has been withdrawn. Case number 50, CED11-16-63, Donald W. and Peggy Sue Butler on 1305 Suwannee Road. Respondents present, so please come up and state your name and address for the record and be sworn in.
Have a good day. Thank you. My name is Donald Butler, 1305 Suwannee Road, Daytona Beach.
Okay. Yeah, then you can just have a seat. Make yourself comfortable.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right, I'm going to hear from Mr. Jackson first, and then we'll hear from him.
And I start with the good news, Madam Chair. This property is before you for compliance and non-compliance. The inspector, Sandy Garcia. Mr. Garcia reports that the property was in non-compliance, but is currently in compliance and is asking for a finding for future violations.
Okay.
Okay. You have
right to talk. Yeah, go ahead. Come up and address us. Say what you'd like to
say. What I'd like to say is a couple of days after we got the notice, we did comply and move the vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
We live in a neighborhood that's very, and Mr. Garcia could probably vouch for me here, that we have our neighborhood split from the homeless association, half of it, and the other half is not homeless association. And we have quite a few people who are very upset about us on the other side who are not in the association. And so Mr. Garcia has to come there every month and has to really, he's really overused in our neighborhood as far as that goes. He does a good job, he does his job, but he's overused. And like I said, I was in compliance, I got a letter. I did neglect to call Mr. Garcia back on the letter, but I rectified the situation within two days.
Yeah, they're saying it's taken care of.
Right.
So.
But I'm just saying that I don't think that I should be subject to a fine on my next violation because
would only apply to the same complaint. It wouldn't.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else would be a separate case.
Okay. I understand that.
Okay.
Okay. I guess that's all I got to say, really, because I just thank Mr. Garcia for doing his job.
Okay, thank you.
And take care of the neighborhood.
Okay.
And if I just could say this for a benefit, it's actually the state law that once we make the finding, that any repeat finding is a different consideration. And so that's what we're asking for, make the finding, and any repeat findings will be that new consideration.
Understood. I fish a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I had my guy bring my boat home late at night, and then I had to clean it up and take it back the next day to the place where I keep my boat. And our neighbor has quite a few neighborhood people that ride their bicycles around the neighborhood, and as soon as they see something sticking out in front of someone's house, they call Mr. Garcia. And he well knows that when he goes to our meetings and stuff that he has a lot to put up with.
Okay, well, we won't get into that right now.
Right. But anyway, I bring my boat home. I fish quite often.
Well, we're not talking about your boat right now, so don't, yeah. Right. So let me just you two can talk, and we'll just do the motion that applies to the RV that was parked in the driveway. Chair will entertain a motion to find the respondent previously in non-compliance when currently in compliance, and for any future violation be returned to a subsequent meeting for a consideration of a fine of up to $5,000 per occurrence and case be dismissed. There's such a motion.
So moved.
Motion, Mrs. House. Second, who made the second? All right, Mr. Jones, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Left side opposed. Motion carries. Okay. Moving on to case number 16. CEB 11-616-64, Julio Victor Castillo, 363 Jefferson Street. That could be Castillo. I don't know whether I... Thank you. Mr. Castillo, are you...
Yes.
Okay, come up and... Okay.
I thought he was
going to
go up.
No, we're done. Well, you just come forward and state your name and address and be sworn in, and then we'll move on from there.
I'm Mr. Castillo. I live at 363 Jefferson Street, and I raise my hand. Yes.
Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you have provided is the truth,
the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
All right. Now, if you take a seat, we'll hear from Mr. Jackson, and then we'll give you a chance to talk.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for imposition of a fine on the as a repeat violation. The inspector, John Stinson, there was an order imposed for noncompliance that was entered June 16, 2016, filed tax force, and now Mr. Casillo is back before the game with an outside storage violation. The violation is continuing and it's not remedied at this point. The staff is requesting a $100 per day fine for a maximum of $10,000.
Okay. And
if Mr. Stinson is the inspector in the case, and I think Mr. Stinson is the actual question.
Do we consider this a repeat violation?
Yes,
so
ma'am.
Now we're just setting the fine, which could be up to $5,000 per occurrence?
Yes, that's correct. And what happens with the repeat violation is that it's treated as though you're here the second time.
Mm-hmm.
So if there was one event or five events, then you count it that way. In this situation, it's a continuing violation,
right.
So we're asking for a running fine until he comes into compliance, $100 per day.
Just
a maximum of $10,000.
Mr. Stanton, what's the date of these pictures?
Good morning, John Stinson, code inspector with the city. I took these pictures yesterday afternoon.
Okay. There's also one more additional point that's a little different with repeat violation in the statute, and that's that once this time that starts counting counts from the time that it's discovered that they're in violation again.
Right.
So, it's always in your discretion on how far back you go, but in this, by statute, you can count from the day that he discovers it for intelligent compliance.
Okay.
And that's what we're asking for. And that date will be the date that we indicated initial date of September 28th, I think. I'm not looking at it. It should be on our agenda list.
His reinspection date was September 28th.
Okay, so it will be from the from September 28th forward.
Mr. Castillo, would you like to? Good, thank you.
Unfortunately, code enforcer did not tell you that he showed up to my house. He told you he did yesterday afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him that yesterday afternoon that if he would come back later on, my buckets won't be there, my seats won't be there, and everything will be all cleaned up because I told him everything I have there does not weigh 100 pounds. So he never showed up. I waited for him all this morning to show up so I could show him that I'm in compliance.
So
why
did you wait from September to supposedly yesterday to do this?
Waited all the way to September. Okay, number one, I received this notice just a couple of days ago. It was taped onto my door just the other day. I didn't get no notices in September or nothing. So if you don't know, you don't know. Do you understand? I got this on my door.
I recall you were here once before.
A long time ago. Somewhere in April, and I had a mess in the side of the house. See this? You see those photos?
Yeah.
That was in April. Okay? Those are the April pictures that they're showing there. That's not now. Hello? And I was given from John Stenson a letter of compliance. Okay? All these photos, they were not taken this morning. Okay? And,
The cutoff date. Well, actually, no, it's not a cutoff date even involved in this case, is there?
And I need also
right.
a little help from the board. What is outside storage? He was complaining that my vehicles are outside storage. I could show you photos, okay, of a tree on top of my car. I got notices here from FEMA, okay? I got notices from FEMA stating to leave everything as is, okay? To leave because they wanted to inspect the property. I got it right here. FEMA. Hello?
What's the date of the FEMA letter?
The FEMA letter is somewhere in October, October 28th. And I called up FEMA right after the storm. Does anybody remember the date of the storm? Anybody remember? It was the 7th or the 8th, right? That we had the storm. And FEMA told me, do not touch anything until we have an inspector come out and look at your property. June.
Madam Chair, members of the board, if I can just clarify some things that I've been speaking with the inspector. He very well may be right about the issue of when we told him he was in violation again. However, this property was in a condition contrary to the code on September 28th. And that's what the inspector went out and discovered that he again had outside storage, which was a prior violation that he had been previously noticed for, and now he was in violation. And that's, so it may be more appropriate to do a single site occurrence as opposed to running fine. I won't try and overcome the issue of what may have happened post-storm, but what we do know is pre-storm he was in a state of violation that required him to have his property not in that state. It is complaint-driven that because of the history, it's complaint-driven that this property gathers outside storage, and that's the situation that needs to be remedied.
Can you?
Wait till it's called.
Okay.
That's positional staff. Yes, it was observed and recorded prior to the hurricane.
And it wasn't just one single violation, was it? Was it simply outside storage? Junk vehicles and outside storage.
Good morning. John Stinson, code inspector with the city.
Okay.
Yes, there were multiple violations on the property in the initial case, mm-hmm. to include outside storage, junk and debris, junk vehicles,
mm-hmm.
And the exterior of the property. This particular case is just being focused on the outside storage of junk and debris. I don't know if you can see it, but yes, on that red card, the tag is the registration sticker is expired. However, he does have a valid registration on it. He just needs a sticker on the car. However, all of the outside storage of junk and debris existed on the 28th, which was prior to the hurricane, and it existed yesterday as well. No, I did not go out there this morning to do a reinspection, because I was just out there yesterday afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, why would you? Because to move anything, so
no.
There wouldn't be any reason why it would be cleaned up.
Thank you very much, sir.
Excuse me. Do you have pictures from yesterday of the car? This is the picture from yesterday?
These are photographs from yesterday, yes.
And I don't see, did I hear Mr. Castillo correctly when he said there was a tree on his car?
There is a black. Can you pause that for me, please?
I don't see that.
Mr. Engineer? Yes, there's a black car in the back close to the house. The tree is actually in between that palm and the house and partially on the tree. Partially on the car.
Okay, I was looking at the red car. The red car is not the issue that we're talking about right this second, because
correct.
It is registered.
Yes.
Does it run? Do we know? Doesn't matter? I thought it doesn't have to be operable.
It comes and goes, so I have to assume
okay.
that it runs.
As long as it's registered, it's fine. All right. So we're looking at the black car. Are these two separate issues now? Is that what you're suggesting?
We would amend to our recommendation to a one-time fine. I don't know how much you were thinking.
The recommendation was $100 per occurrence. The vehicle issue isn't even. The vehicle isn't even.
A one-time $100 fine, and Mr. Spencer will go follow up to determine if this property is in compliance, and he'll cite him for if it's not. So. So we'll give him a few days and just go and make sure that indeed it's cleaned up, or if there's some prohibition. I don't know any issue that would seem will keep it from cleaning up the type of things that I see in that picture. So there's some clarification for it too. There's some things that we think would, in manner with the statute, would demand that we think that the single fine would be the more appropriate situation in this case. So we're asking for a one-time fine of $100. And then we'll address any further violations if we should cite them and bring them before you.
Mm-hmm.
Street.
What is it? Can I see the picture from yesterday? That looks...
Yeah.
Looks almost the same.
Yeah, it does. That scaffolding has been taken down a long time ago.
Okay. These photographs were taken on September 28th.
Okay.
This is the picture of the posting. That's the letter right on
right.
the window. This is the north side of the property.
Okay.
As you can see, the trash cans. This is the vehicle that he usually uses. Along with the trash cans, obviously you see the dogs and all of the other items. Behind the trash can, going all the way back to the privacy fence in the rear. So, yes, there are two trash cans on within that collection of items. However, there's quite a few other items out there. That
I'm looking at broken windows, damaged door. Are those fixed?
No.
I'm sorry, I just get off my eyes.
Okay. Yes, we're just talking about the outside storage back here in the back end. As you can see, this is also from the 28th. The black car is still in the same location, no tree, yet the outside storage of junk and debris remains.
Okay.
And per the request of Mr. Garcia as well, that we asked that there be a $100 one-time fine, and we will follow up on any future, we'll bring in future cases if that's necessary.
Okay. The chair will entertain a motion to impose. Well, is there discussion from the board or no? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to impose a one-time fine of $100 for the. Do we need a date? For the September 28th violation, 2016, September 28th, 2016 violation. Is there such a motion? Is there such a motion? Mr. Jones made a motion. Mr. Weatherholt seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like sign opposed. Motion carries. That case is done with now.
Come over and take a good look at that photo. You see garbage pails there. You don't see garbage, see nothing else. Garbage pails and dogs. Okay? That's all you see. I'm going to pay $100 to have my garbage pails outside?
That's not right. Yeah, put the picture in.
No, we're not. We're finished. Sir, we're finished with the case. We're finished with the case.
It's really wrong. Really wrong, boss. Were you supposed to show up this morning?
No.
And you didn't show up, so it can tell you your credibility.
All right, let's move on to case number 17, CEB 11-16-65, Clarence and Beverly Mallory. Are they here? No? Okay.
Madam Chairman, before determination of compliance, or non-compliance, John Stinson is the inspector. Mr. Stinson reports that this property is in extreme disrepair. It needs to be secure as well. It's complaint generated. It's asking for finding non-compliance and next cutoff for the property to come into compliance.
Mr. Stinson, has there been any contact with the owners?
Good morning, John.
Good morning.
Again, code inspector in South Cases.
Again.
I've had no contact. I've had to post all notices. This began as a police complaint, actually police and citizen complaint. The property is unsecure. It hasn't been maintained in quite some time. The first floor, the windows broken out. As you can see, the backyard's in disrepair, disarray. There was a glass room or floor to room, sunroom on one side of the house, and all the glass is gone, broken. during the time of his vacancy, it's still vacant. I guess the locals went in there and set the second floor on fire. So there's also fire damage on the second floor as well. Like I said, no contact, no response.
Okay. All right. Any discussion?
Is it like in foreclosure or anything?
I have not found any documentation stating that.
So it's unsecured. This is a safety issue.
Especially,
We could be. It wouldn't be easy, but.
All right, because it's, okay. Chair, I'll entertain a motion to find respondent non-compliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the next cutoff date, November 30th, 2016, or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. And further, are we doing something else?
Authorizing the city
to board up to secure the property. Is there such a motion?
Uh-huh.
Motion, Mr. Smart.
Second,
Mr. Weatherholt. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign, opposed. Motion carried. All right, that's good. I think our next one is our last new case, CEB 11-16-66, Erica Davis. Okay, good. So this will be our last case before the lien review at 615 Washington Street. Hello. Dayton. Go ahead. That's her. She probably knows what to do by now.
Erica Davis, 615 Washington Street, in front of me, 6214.
Raise your right hand.
Can
you
solemnly
swear or affirm that the testimony
you're
about to provide is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the
truth? Yes, please.
All right, Mr. Jackson. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is before you for a finding of compliance or non-compliance. The inspector, John Stinson. Mr. Stinson reports that this is a complaint generated that the property remains in non-compliance. He asks that you find the respondent in non-compliance and give the respondent until next cutoff to come into compliance. I'll send to Mr. Stinson for any additional factual information.
Okay. What would you like to tell us, Mr. Stinson?
Good morning. John Stinson, Code Inspector with City. My qualifications are on file. This was a field-generated complaint. It's not too far from the code office. As you can tell from the picture, there's a plethora of violations on the property. The certified notice was responded to. However, compliance has not yet been met. As of yesterday, I believe the fire department was out there. There was some issue going on in the rear of the property, but outside of that, it's still in non-compliance. We're asking for the next cutoff.
All right. Thank you very much. Would you like to respond, Davis?
Yeah. We've been going through a lot. We have 2 daughters with autism. We've had two.
Do you live there?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I own the property.
Okay. You own the property. Yeah. Okay.
And so we've been going through a lot with that, with them having the evaluations and everything that they have for school right now to get them enrolled. They've had probably 4 to 5 different evaluations apiece. We've had meetings with schools to attend to and all these other things on top of it. We haven't had the time to get to everything that we have been doing. The truck was removed from the property. It is at a friend's place where my fiance is doing work there to get storage there for it. One of the decreases, the one that was parked outside sideways, has been removed. The Lincoln that was in the yard is up for sale and has been posted on Craigslist and has a for sale sign on it. The other Caprice has been listed as for sale as well, and the camper is in the process of being taken down and taken to a scrapyard. We're just waiting on our buddy to be able to bring his truck over there to take the stuff that we have set apart and remove it and take it there. We're trying to do the best we can. My friend is a fence installer. She's tried to find the time between doing all the hurricane stuff to come out there and do our best to freeze
We're doing what we can right now. And I really don't know what else to say. This is really a money thing at this point. A neighbor of ours just gave us paint for the house yesterday. So we can try to get that done this week. My friend's boyfriend is going to help us get that done. We've been looking into how much it's going to cost us to get windows and stuff like that. And we're just really trying to do everything we can right now to comply with everything. It's just it's really hard and what we've got going on with our kids.
Okay. How long do you think it will take you to get this accomplished?
I don't know, because it's been going on in my house for, you know, it's been a long time, and I'm the only one working. I make 10 an hour detailing cars, and on that, and taking care of a three- and four-year-old autistic child, like, it's hard. It really is to maintain everything. We don't get food stamps, they won't give us meat out of the house. And I've been trying to get help from other family and friends, and it's like, only keeps getting them to help, even though we've helped everybody else out. So, we've got like most of the tools and everything that were out there, they won't be outside. We got the porch cleaned up, which was an issue with the outside storage. We got all our hedges trimmed. My brother-in-law is a roofer and dredger. I think he's going to come and help us fix like, the fascia boarding and stuff on it to get that up to code. And so we really are trying to do everything we can right now. It's just, everything's been really tight and really hard. But them getting into school and having to get their shots and everything. So I don't know what else to say.
Mr. Jackson, what's your recommendation?
The city recommends noncompliance next cutoff. The inspector believes that's a reasonable time to come into compliance. Something I want to clarify that I raised with a prior case, I just want to try to clarify that a little bit. I mentioned economics and said that we don't look at people's economic status, but we do look at mitigating circumstances.
Right, so correct.
As you measure the mitigating circumstances, then you can make whatever determinations that you choose as a board. However, the recommendation of the city is that the this can be done, a reasonable time for compliance is next step.
Any discussion from the board? I'm looking at 20 days as not being enough time.
I agree.
That's all right. Let us talk about it. I think that that's not quite enough time. There looks to be quite a bit of work that needs to be done there. So I would certainly support a motion that would wait until the January cutoff date. Yes, the 4th, to come into compliance. Okay. All right. Any discussion? Does that seem reasonable? Okay. Chair will entertain a motion to find respondent noncompliance and order the respondent to come into compliance by the January 4th, 2017 cutoff date or be returned to the board for consideration of a fine of up to $1,000 per day. Is there such a motion?
Second.
All right. Motion, Mr. Smart, second. Mr. Weatherhill, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Like, sign opposed. Motion carries. Okay, so you have some time. Work with Mr. Stanton, please. Okay. Now, I guess we'll go back to the lien review. Come forward. Shuffling papers around here to find where we are. All right, the lien review is case number CEB 0616-32. 417 McGee Street, Pauletta R. Wright. Hi.
Hi, my name is Katrina Gordon. I'm the daughter of Pauletta Wright.
Okay. Sit down. We'll give you a chance to speak. Go ahead.
Mr. Jackson, please.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we're here for a lien review. Mm-hmm. Just looking back at the record, one of the issues that stands out is that the respondent said that because of the timing of when the violation occurred, that they were not working because it was the summer or something with school, and that, but as the Auden had, it had been a very long time, and so we did impose, the staff did impose a fine for their noncompliance, and so 39 days after they were found in noncompliant, and I mean 39 days from the imposition of the fine, they were able to comply. So staff is asking, they require us having to do the inspections and the various things that staff did. So staff is asking for a reduction of the fine to $500 to be paid within 30 days. And this case was handled by Mrs. Stinson. If there's anything else that you want to consider from our Mrs. Stinson.
All right, so compliance was 9/19/2016, right? That was 39 days before that. Any discussion?
Yes, ma'am. The case brought it back in April.
The total would be 500 is what you're saying, right?
Yes, yeah. It was... fine was imposed, case started in April, or at least that was when we first had our first contact with the respondent and made them aware of the violation. So a fine was imposed, but 39 days from the imposition of the fine, it came into compliance. So we're asking for the reduction to $500.
Any discussion?
Mr. Stinson, are you satisfied with being in compliance?
Yes, sir.
Anybody else?
I'll consider
using
the fine $250.
Anyone else? You want to make that motion?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. We're not quite there yet. Would you like to speak? Okay.
Hello.
Hi.
Before I start, I just want to say thank you to Amy for being very patient with us, as well, regardless of what the results are. She's been very patient and amazing. Second of all, I would like to say that, yes, it started back in April, but the school finished in May. So my mom used her savings for the summer to get this work done. At the same time, which we never brought up in court because it was a separate issue, she was dealing with a pipe situation, which they charged her up to, $4,000 that she was dealing with at the same time. And once she got the property the pipe checked out, and spending money on that as well while trying to come in compliance, they reduced it from $4,000 to $1,000, but she was paying that at the same, I guess, time.
Yeah.
And we would have been here to get another extension so that we would not have gotten fined, but we missed that court date. So I apologize for that, but we're like really trying. My mom has been trying her best, and she lives by herself. So to even have a water bill that expensive is crazy. But she's not a argumentative person, so she kind of just goes with it. So that's why I'm speaking more on her behalf. But I mean, yes, $500 is a big discount from $3,000, but $500 is not affordable either. You know, so yes, he did say $150. I understand that, but I just wanted to let them know that $500 is still out of the way because my mom's just getting back on the feet and still paying the money for the water bill situation also.
Okay. All right. I guess. Any discussion from the board?
I want to clarify something. How much did you say it cost the city to handle this so far?
We didn't really do a tally or anything, but we thought it was reasonable to ask for a $500 fine. We don't have any objection to the lower amount that was proposed, but we just thought that was a reasonable request.
All right. Chair, I'll entertain a motion to impose a lien, fine, to reduce the amount of the lien to $250, subject to being paid within 30 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is that the motion?
So moved.
Mr. Jones made the motion. Second?
Second.
Mr. Harrington, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed? Motion carries. Okay, go ahead.
I'm really at a loss for words.
What do you want to talk about?
I'm asking for, yes, ma'am, more time. And if I'm not mistaken, Mr. Jones said 150. He said 250. Well, I apologize. That's why we haven't reported. I think we need more time for that.
Staff recognizing it is the holiday season, we don't have a problem with additional time if that's something the board desires. But
I don't want to sound selfish because it got reduced,
but that's not the point. We do need to recover the cost to the city, and I think that's something we have to consider. All the paperwork it's generated and everything else, the attention that people had to spend on this case.
Yes, ma'am.
So it didn't happen just, things don't just happen. But you would like more time to pay.
Yes, ma'am.
The $250.
Yes, ma'am.
Is there any objection from the...
No, I've been advised by staff that we have no problem with additional time.
So, do I need a... Yeah, that's a good question. Well, I mean, 60 days should do it. Or else I'm... 60 days will be fine, she said. So I'm going to have to amend the original motion. Mr. Jones will amend the original motion and say that to reduce the amount of the lien to $250, subject to being paid within 60 days.
I would suggest 90 days if they can. The city agrees with that. Okay.
Yeah, we agree with that. That's the desire of the board. Mr. Garcia said 90 days was. I said Mr. Garcia said 90 days was fine for him.
Please don't get frustrated. I appreciate everyone that's trying to work it out.
Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board. As a representative of the staff, I don't have a problem with giving them 90 days. We do have several holidays coming up. There has been certain situations that have arisen, so 90 days seems fair to allow them to pay the amount that you guys have imposed. And then if it's not done within the 90 days, then the respondent should be made fully aware of that it will revert back to the original fine. And
which is $3,900.
Right.
All right, well, we're going to amend. We didn't ever get that second motion, but so the motion will read, the chair will entertain a motion to reduce the amount of the lien to $250, subject to being paid within 90 days, or the fine will revert to the original amount. Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Mr. Jones made the motion. Is there a second? Mr. Weatherholt made the second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Like, sign, opposed. Motion carries. Okay. All right. Is there any miscellaneous business from anyone?
Okay, meeting's adjourned. Oh, did you want to say something? Oh, yeah, you weren't here when we had the water discussion. It was kind of... Yeah, well...
And so they
at this point, I mean, it's shocking to me as well. And I know with rental properties, the landlord doesn't have to pay for the water, but he must, by state law, provide the water. In other words, it has to be turned on. It doesn't matter who pays for it. And this is rental property, so I'm really unclear why he can have, because I'm almost sure that state law says that you have to provide water. It does.
Even if it does, it would be a contractual thing. I think.
But you don't have to pay for it. I'm not saying that they have to pay for it, but it has to be available.
The International Property Maintenance Code says that they have to have water.
Okay.
But the interpretation from the International Property Maintenance Code is that water that's sufficient to wash or generate. Because people have cisterns in certain areas. It's national code. So whichever way you get water, as long as you have water, it's okay. So you don't have to have, you're not required to be connected to
the government. Doesn't have to be running water.
Right. You don't have to be connected to the system.
At some point, at your convenience, show me the rule that says it doesn't have to be running water?
It's an interpretation. I don't know if it's a rule.
Who interprets it that way?
Well, I guess what I'll do is I can provide you an International Property Maintenance Code.
Okay.
And I don't think it says running water in that. So that's kind of the starting point.
Okay.
It doesn't say running. I would say I was sure to you about how it But I got home. It is interpreted like I thought the land and the landowner, you had to make sure it was running water. That's been out. Don't have to do that. You rent the house. As I said, I was told, I couldn't believe it was a stove. They could go in and there's a couple of buckets of water or something around that they can pour, that's it.
But you can't really set an amount in water because you've got a family of six kids. So they need a heck of a lot more water than they do after
this. Get a bucket.
And that's...
But that's but not... That's I mean, that's
a separate... That's what the health department would review of the ground.
So it would be the health department would be contacted?
We have a certain thing we're able to do. We're able to address whether or not they're falling in the National Property Maintenance Code if it's cold issues.
But if you live next door, to a property that had no running water and they were dumping their water that they used outside or they were...
Then that's what your issue is. It's the dumping of the unsanitary waste, not the fact that they don't have water.
Or both. That there's no... Could you call, as a citizen, could you call the health department and complain?
Yes, you can. But,
an issue for the board. I'm just asking.
Yeah, I don't really know what your results would be, but yes, you can call and...
Okay, go ahead. None?
What we're able to do is to tell someone that the code requires you to have it. You gotta have water.
Right.
And if you don't, we're gonna cite you.
Okay.
And they can respond in terms to taking it at
the level. But the water they have to have is just buckets of water. So how do we make them turn the water on?
I mean, they can go get a bucket of water from the river.
Well, if it's a sanitation, health, or safety and well-being of children, or safety and well-being of animals,
right,
are all issues that can arise, but they're all dealt with in ways outside,
right,
of code enforcement.
Right. Oh, yeah, I know that.
So code enforcement, we're just limited.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's just kind of the reality of code enforcement, that our power is the power to be,
right,
able to impose a fine.
Right.
And expect that would motivate or stimulate someone to come into compliance.
Right. Let me ask you a question. If they go to the river and get water,
mm-hmm,
and bring it back to the house, that's considered having water.
All over the country. I mean, in other places in the country. I don't say all over, but if you're on the water, I mean, it's based on the National Property Maintenance Code, so it's something
that's but based on that code, that's what that means. As long as you get a bucket of water from the river, you're good to go.
Yeah, and I can provide that. I have a folder for my prior session. We have all the building codes and the National Property Maintenance Codes and state codes. We adopt those codes, and local codes. We adopt those additional codes because local codes, certain things are addressed with other jurisdictions, such as our involvement in that aspect of interest of rights and our intervention in those interest of rights through property maintenance codes. What requires it or is that the only avenue? I don't know that. I've never researched that issue.
Right.
Can I be happy?
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm not asking you to do that.
He doesn't have a code. It refers up to the chain. It goes to the county code. The county code doesn't have something that is named for federal, just like that.
And I think what you're talking about is the aspect of it, and now I'm going into civics, right, but the general law versus the specific law. The local government are bound under general law, so we have those available,
right,
to us, and unless we adopt specific laws where they are not preempted by the general law. And so
what would prevent every slumlord from not providing water, not providing adequate, safe electrical? What would prevent that then?
Well, remember that. What the problem becomes is the residual effects. It's not necessarily the in every situation, the code matter may not be enforced as a code matter, but the residuals as a result, like you said, if they don't have a place for waste to go and they're dumping waste, now you have a residual effect if you don't have something, you know, processed for the waste.
So,
so there are code matters that can arise,
right,
as a result, but then the specific issue of the non-water is not the code issue.
Right, I get that.
I mean,
didn't we just order them to have the water turned on?
Well, you said water turned on. I didn't say water turned on. We ordered them to have water, but that's
we ordered them to have water. Okay.
Yeah.
So that means they. How do we know they don't haven't been on to the river to get water?
So that's their defense. They come in and they say that. To our parents and knowledge, we don't see that being the situation.
Right. Okay. So you don't see that. They just don't have water.
Yeah. They can come clean up the house and clean up the yard and wash the car and clean the dog off from the river and they'll be fine.
That's very interesting.
I mean, I presume it's not that.
I'm
not sure.
I was shocked that she was.
I was a prosecutor in rural North Florida for 3 years, and there's a lot of interesting ways people have water and other things. Over in Lyville, Lake City, Hamilton, Madison, those are reasons.
Wow. Okay. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, ma'am.
Yeah.
Okay, but that's nothing we're going to discuss.
Right.
We're
no, we can't
state,
discuss
absolutely,
that.
We're not going to talk,
right,
about it.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Understand your point.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Any other business?
If we can maybe talk off the record, that's just really something that I would.
Meeting adjourned.
Yeah.